The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Ice Time podcast here at buffalonews.com. I'm Mike Harrington in snowy and windy and icy Buffalo, joined as always by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay, who does not have that kind of weather going on down in Dallas, but certainly has a lot of news going on. Rachel, first of all, tell people, what is the weather like in Dallas right now?
It is in the 50s. Let's put this in some context. I came here this morning. I took, I think, a 6 or a 7 a.m. flight out of St. Louis, where it was 18 degrees. I landed in St. Louis on Sunday afternoon. It was 61, I believe. Then this cold front blew in and the temperature plummeted about 45 degrees in the course of about 10 to 12 hours. And when I walked to Enterprise Center Monday morning for the Sabres morning skate, the wind was just gusting everywhere off the Mississippi. And people are looking at me like, how are you walking? How are you walking? I said, please, I'm from Buffalo. This is nothing. So when I landed in Dallas, people were saying, it's 39 degrees, it's 39 degrees, it's so cold here. This is about 8:15, 8:30 in the morning here. And I said, this is nothing, I'm from Buffalo. So it warmed up to about low 50s here in Dallas. It's clear, it's dry. The city's very excited about the Cotton Bowl as well, too. But we got a big game tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars. The Sabres have won 9 in a row, and they are ready to try to match the franchise record of 10 games winning streak, you know, which hasn't been done since my first year at the Buffalo News in the fall of 2018. So exciting times in Saberland. The other game in Dallas tomorrow.
But let's talk about the big news coming out of Sabres practice. Alex Lyon not on the ice for Sabres practice on Tuesday, and you find out afterward from Lindy Ruff there's an injury situation going on. So what do you know about what is taking place with Alex Lyon?
Well, I sat down in the stands at American Airlines Center this afternoon. Practice was also pushed up half an hour, which was supposed to be 1 o'clock Central. It got pushed up to 12:30, which was 1:30 Eastern. I'm a little weird with the time change right now. But I look down on the ice. I take roll, little inside baseball for our listeners. I try to take roll, look at the rosters, and cross off every player I see by number. I only see two goalies on the ice, Colton Ellis and UPL. And I identify the goalies by the masks they're wearing. And they each have very distinct masks that they wear. Alex Lyon has the saber shield on each side of his helmet. The other two have some form of it, but they're a little more muted. So I say, well, there's no Alex Lyon on the ice. That's interesting. Put the tweet out. I said, put it on my list of questions to ask Lindy afterwards. And one thing I find is if you ask Lindy about information, he'll answer. You know, there is some transparency there, which is good. So, of course, I asked, you know, why didn't Alex Lyon practice? What's his status? And Lindy said, well, he sustained a lower body injury late in the game on Monday, 4-2 win against St. Louis. I think Lyon only faced about 18 shots in the game. And he said it happened late in the game. I've been seeing this all over social media, people saying, I'm not a doctor. I'm not doing this. But I think back to it, my first thought, this is just operating on a hunch, being an observer. No medical training, no inside information. I said, God, you know, he really stretched out when he misplayed the puck late in the game. You know, games on the line is what, 3-2, 4-2, final minute and a half. When Pavel Buchnevich, I'm probably butchering that name, picked up a loose puck that he misplayed and went to put a shot on goal into a nearly open net. Unfortunately for the Sabres, Buchnevich's shot went right across the front of the goal and Peyton Krebs picked up the loose puck and, you know, helped close out that win. Even in the locker room, I didn't think anything of it as I'm interviewing a couple of the players afterwards. And it wasn't until I got to Dallas, I said, there's no Alex Lyon. And this could be a big problem. Lindy said, we're going to evaluate Alex. We're evaluating him today. We will know more Wednesday for sure. We're kind of in hurry up and wait mode right now to find out what's going on with Alex Lyon. Keep an eye out for him tomorrow at the morning skate at American Airlines Arena. But Alex Lyon has played the bulk of these last 9 games. He came in and relieved Colton Ellis, who sustained a concussion late in the first period in Edmonton, the 4-3 overtime win back on December 9th, which seems like 3 years ago at this point. He has carried the goaltending of this team in its 9-game win streak. He has been poised. He has been focused. He has been unflappable. And again, if it is that play, it was just a weird play that maybe he caught a skate or something, or maybe something happened, or maybe we know that athletes are also very, very in tune with their bodies. Maybe there's something that didn't feel right, but we got to hang tight until Wednesday to find out what the extent of the injury is and how it could impact the Sabres goaltending situation.
And we've had a lot of questions recently in our own minds about the three goalie setup. Colton Ellis has been out, but he's been practicing, and you're saying to yourself, how long are they going to stretch this out here? Maybe there'll be a conditioning assignment to Rochester to stretch it out and not have to force an answer even more. And lo and behold, now it looks like Colton Ellis is going to be needed here. Certainly they're going to play Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in Dallas and maybe even in Columbus too, where they have a couple more days before they play on Saturday. But Ellis could be put in. And in your mind, that was an ugly-looking play where Alex Lyon may have been injured. He certainly was bent back awkwardly. You know, the knees, the hips were involved there. This would be one of the biggest losses of the season injury-wise if Alex Lyon is out for any extended period of time. Like you said, given how he's played, if you were to pick an MVP of this team during this winning streak, there's votes there for Matias Samuelsson for sure. There's some votes that you could send to Josh Norris and Noah Ostlund. But geez, isn't Alex Lyon probably the most valuable player on this club during this winning streak?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's emerged as the number one goalie in this winning streak. He had to take it on. It was obligation when UPL began the season on injured reserve after the two injuries and before the preseason and before the start of the season. And he handled that masterfully. That's why Alex Lyon was brought in. If something happens with UPL, we got a go-to guy, a proven number two goalie who can prove he can play in any situation. Alex Lyon has proven that. But it's a long season. Things happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. And, you know, it was not Alex Lyon's lucky day, if that's the case. But again, I'm reserving the freak out until we find out a little bit more about what the evaluation reveals and what Lindy Ruff has to say tomorrow in Dallas.
Let's move ahead here as we think about this winning streak.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
We don't know what's going to happen in the Dallas game. Some of you are probably listening or watching this after the Dallas game is over. Many of you are seeing it in the afternoon before the game. But regardless of the result of the Dallas game, it doesn't change the fact the Sabres have won 9 in a row since, like you said, they were in Edmonton, to get themselves out of last place in the East, out of 31st place in the overall standing, and now into the thick of the wild card standing, within 5 points of the Atlantic Division lead, within a couple points of third place. What, in your mind, has been some of the compelling items out of this streak that now gets this team into the playoff race, hopefully for good?
I saw this in the preseason. I remember Zach Benson saying something that kind of stuck with me. You know, this is way back in the preseason. They played Columbus. They held a one-goal lead in the third period. And I asked Zach Benson, what really helped you guys hold that third period lead? Granted, it's an A, you know, game against an A, mostly AHL lineup from Columbus. And he kind of grinned, you know, that Zach Benson, you know, pest grin. He's a pest. And he said, we were savages. And during the season, during the first few weeks of the season, especially when the Sabres kind of started to hit the doldrums, they weren't able to hold third period leads. They'd lose a lead and you just kind of see the body language go, you know, the shoulder slump, the long faces, there was frustration. They're starting to figure that out. I'm going to have a story on Wednesday talking to some of the players about, you know, what have you learned about your team? When did you know? And I think back to overtime, when they went into overtime against Edmonton, the start of the streak, Alex Tuck scores with 33 seconds into the game on Stuart Skinner, who was then traded to Pittsburgh a few days later. And I asked a couple of the players, what do you remember about going back in the locker room after regulation? what do you do? And they kind of laughed. They said, I don't remember a lot of it. What do you mean? I don't remember the score of that game. I'm like, okay. But one of the things that Peyton Krebs told me, he said, we really believed in ourselves. Gave up those three goals in the third period, and we didn't give up on ourselves. You know, the words he said were believe in ourselves. And that's one thing. That's great. Everybody has to believe in themselves. But the fact that we're seeing this over and over, a couple nights later in Vancouver, the Sabres hold a third period lead. They're smart with the puck. They're getting contributions from every line. You know, they're not panicking as well. They're finishing plays. Each line's doing its job. We're seeing them winning faceoffs late in the game. They're doing the little things, finding the fine details. They're winning those 50-50 pucks. They're not turning over the puck as much. They're playing around the net. Look at Zach Benson's goal in St. Louis to go ahead. He picked up a bounce off Jack Quinn's initial shot. A lot of things they're doing. And Alex Tuch said last night after the win against St. Louis, we are just relentless right now. And our confidence has not wavered. And that's important. If you can walk in confident like the Sabres have been doing, that's half the battle. They've really self-empowered.
And I think this is really a victory for Lindy Ruff. A lot of the things you talked about do come back to coaching. Some of the points he's harped on for weeks and weeks about puck management, about not taking bad penalties late in close games. And you think back to when Jarmo Kekäläinen took over after Kevin Adams was fired, and what was the first game? That weeknight game on ESPN Plus against the Philadelphia Flyers, where all ESPN was talking about essentially was, when are the Sabres going to sack Lindy Ruff and hire John Tortorella in his place?
Tortorella was coaching in a studio in Bristol, right? Hey, we were listening to it on our headphones. He was auditioning
for the role, telestrating plays and pointing out Tage Thompson's mistakes.
He ate a plate of chefs, and John Buchegrass took a photo of it and taunted all of Buffalo with it.
Right. So this really has been a victory, I think, for Lindy Ruff here, and it proved two things. First of all, we knew it certainly proves Lindy Ruff can still coach, but it proves that Lindy Ruff has the buy-in of this team. They did not tune Lindy Ruff out at a time when the GM was fired. They said, we can get the coach out of here too. No, it seemed like this team wanted the GM out because they've played at a different level since Kevin Adams has been fired here. I know the first three wins were Adams was still there, but they knew the rumors were out there. And they have bought into what Lindy Ruff has said, and they look like a team that believes in itself and really knows what it's doing on the ice. And certainly at the start of the year, that didn't happen. And here's one other coaching note. Just think about it. You mentioned some of these overtime games. Early in the year, the Sabres had a bad run in overtime. I think they lost four in a row in overtime. What has changed in overtime is Lindy Ruff's deployment. He now will run two defensemen out there in overtime. You will see sometimes Dahlin with Samuelson or Dahlin with Byram. He doesn't want to give up all these opportunities by playing three forwards or playing two forwards in a D. He's not upset or not worried about running two defensemen out there. And look at the goal he got in New Jersey from Bowen Byram. And I think that's a big coaching adjustment when they blew some points in overtime that they're now figuring out.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about the players are starting to buy into what Lindy Ruff says. There were times about 5 or 6 weeks ago, some of those losses, I'd watch the games and I think, are these guys even listening to Lindy Ruff? I'm not going to lie. I thought that because, you know, Lindy's what, mid-60s right now. It's a different kind of player he's coaching right now. But let's be real, Lindy Ruff has seen a lot of hockey in his life. He's coached a lot of hockey in his life. And one of the things you have to do, especially now in this kind of NHL, you have to evolve, but you have to stick with the fundamentals that have made you successful as well. And there was a point, and I think it might have been in Calgary. It seems like so long ago again. Lindy, during one of the media scrums, I think I had asked him, you know, what does this team need to do to really be effective? I can't remember what the particular quote was, but his answer really resonated with me. He said, I want a guy to stick a puck in his teeth and dive into the goal. That's the kind of player he wanted. That's the kind of attitude that he wanted. I was half ready to start playing hockey for Lindy Ruff when he said that. I said, give me that puck. I'll put it in my teeth. My parents are probably going to be so mad at me because I'll bust up my teeth and all the money they spent on that orthodontia years ago will have gone to waste. But it was such a motivating quote. And, you know, the players always joke, we don't read what you write, blah, blah, blah. I hope he said that to his team. I hope they listened to him, because they're sure as heck playing like they listened to him as now as well.
Well, Tage Thompson has said to me multiple times that the things Lindy says to you guys, we hear too, but we hear it at a different level. So I'm sure he did. And Tage Thompson, it kind of helps us segue to the next segment here. While the Sabres are on the road, heading to Columbus, while they could be continuing on a winning streak, there's going to be a major announcement here Friday from the NHL. On the Today Show Friday morning, Team USA's Olympic team is going to be announced. And that's going to be the time we find out officially, is Tage Thompson on the Olympic team? Does Alex Tuch have a chance to be on the U.S. Olympic team going to Italy? What are your initial thoughts here as we've heard all these mock rosters for the last several weeks? We're finally going to get the ultimate answer here. Where do you think Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch stand when it comes to Team USA?
Tage Thompson will be on the United States Olympic team. Alex Tuch right now is on the bubble. And I'm going to start with why Tage Thompson should be on the Olympic team. He's all but played his way onto the United States roster. You look at his recent scoring tear. At one point, you know, Rasmus Dahlin said the reason we're winning games is because, you know, Tomer's scoring a goal in every game. That was his quote. Tage Thompson did not make the Four Nations roster, and that bothered him. That motivated him. And he scored one of the biggest goals in United States hockey history in May at the IIHF World Championship that helped, you know, get the United States their first medal in that tournament since, what, 1933? As well. And all of a sudden, Tage Thompson becomes a star. I was a little concerned earlier in the season when he wasn't playing well. And I think I even said to you, does Tage want to make the Olympic team? But for some reason, again, not just in these nine games, you know, and even before then, probably around a little before Thanksgiving, things really started to come together for him as well. And not just that, he's playing faceoffs. He's a very versatile player. He can handle faceoffs. He's, you know, evolving his defensive game as well. He can score goals. He can set up plays. I mean, he's feeding off, dare I say it, Peyton Krebs, whose job on that first line isn't to score goals. It is to make plays and set up plays that will help benefit Tage Thompson and Josh Doan on that first line as well. Peyton Krebs does the hard work so that those two can succeed. That's one thing I really like about Peyton Krebs on that line, and people will disagree with me, but do what you want. They're on a nine-game winning streak with Peyton Krebs on the first line as well. But I believe Tage Thompson will be on the United States Olympic team. Alex Tuch is a little more question mark, even though he is one of the NHL's more effective, more efficient two-way forwards. We always hear him mentioned as a Selke Trophy candidate. He's kind of gone up and down as well, too. Didn't play in the World Championships in May, but he told us, because he, you know, the birth of his child, I believe it was in April, his child had to be hospitalized. Family takes priority. I understand that as well, too. And I don't think Alex has been as consistent early on to show that. I was also listening to Bill Guerin, the general manager of Team USA and the Minnesota Wild general manager. He was on Frank Zaravalli and John Bochigrash's show earlier this year, and you know, earlier today, I should say. And he talked about also how, one, Bill Guerin will have the final say in all roster decisions on the Olympic team. Two, he has a group of people around him that they are not yes men. They will tell him why or why not a person will be on. And he said, the people we will pick the people who are the best people for the roles we want them to be in. And the other good point he brought up, Team USA, the pool is so wide and Team USA will not be controlled by a salary cap, unlike the NHL. And he said, we have a huge cross section to work with. We might have to leave some guys out, but here's the other point. Mike, you and I talked about this as well. The Olympic team's going to be announced Friday. The final roster is going to be determined December 31st. Bill Guerin said, after that, we still got 5 weeks to go. Anything could happen. Alex Tuch, even if he doesn't make the team, could be one of those guys who said, keep an eye out for your phone. We may need you to get on a plane at the last minute if someone gets injured, if someone has a family issue, or if something else happens. So Thompson, yes, Tuch on the bubble.
I pretty much would agree with that. I think Tuch should be on this team. I think his versatility is incredible, his penalty-killing skills, his speed, his size, his physicality, his puck-hounding. But it's a hard problem. which guy gets nosed out? Does Tuck get nosed out? Do they nose out Jason Robertson, Cole Caulfield? There are a lot of tough decisions here. There's going to be two or three players you're going to be stunned they're not on this team. Now, I don't think Bill Guerin did a very good job, frankly, picking the Four Nations team. I was pretty vocal about choices like Chris Kreider, Vincent Trocheck, Brock Nelson. Now, Nelson, I think, is a better choice now for the kind of season he's had in Colorado than when he was playing with the Islanders last year. So we'll see if Guerin gives preference and priority to some of those Four Nation guys that I didn't really like on the team. Thompson should have been on the Four Nations team.
Yes.
It was ridiculous that he wasn't. He had to prove himself at the World Championships. I think the whole, well, he plays in Buffalo. He's never played any important games, really hurt Thompson last year. I think he went to the World Championships and shot that theory down. So I'm thinking you're right. Thompson certainly, to me, should be a lock. Tuck, you see projections out there on the web. People are picking Tuck on the team, including Buchagross on the podcast you referenced today. He has Alex Tuck on his team. I don't think Alex Tuck is going to be on this team at the start. I do think we're going to look to see Alex Tuck on this club, maybe at the first sign of anybody being injured and one guy being needed in reserve. I think he's very close to making this team.
Yep. Don't turn off your phone, Alex Tuck.
Right.
So we've got a couple other guys. You know, we've got Rasmus Dahlin, who was on the preliminary roster that was announced in June for Sweden. UPL could be a shot as being one of Finland's three goalies. He could make the roster on the basis of numbers. The national team in Finland's expected to have three goalies. He's finally starting to find a stride and goal, even though he hasn't played a lot of the 9-game winning streak. He's starting to get a little bit of a rhythm back.
He was on the Four Nations team. Don't discount that in terms of picking a goaltender.
Yeah. The other one that we haven't mentioned, Jiří Kulík. There's also the possibility that he could be on Czechia's team, but the only thing that's going to hold him back is, one, he hasn't played since November 1st due to blood clots. Two, will he be able to travel? Because you can't travel when you have blood clot issues as well. You know, and where he is at in his recovery and progression to maintaining and controlling the clotting issues he has.
Yeah, I don't think Jiří Kulík is going to get there simply because we haven't seen him on the ice. There's no indication he's close to coming back. It's unfortunate. I think he would have been on the team in a normal year if he was healthy. So reminder on that, Team USA, it's in the 8 o'clock hour of the Today Show Friday morning. That announcement will be made, and we'll find out the verdict on Tuck and Thompson. All right, let's look at the last segment here, Rachel. The Sabres are going to be looking into January. They're going to be in the playoff race, which is what everybody wanted. They're going to start the 2026 portion of the season. What, in your mind, I have one thought. I want to know your biggest thought going into January. The Sabres will be playing in Columbus on Saturday. They'll be back home next Tuesday against the Vancouver Canucks. What do you want to see from this club in January? What are some of the things you're looking for?
First off, let me ask you this. What's it like to say, wow, the Sabres are in the playoff race, even if it's the end of December, early January? What's it like to say that?
It's been 3 years. They were certainly in it at the end of 22-23. But prior to that, it had been 2012. So realistically, this might only be the second actual playoff race they've been in the last 13 years.
Gotcha. Now, what I want to see, granted, it's we're going to cross the threshold in January this week, so an early happy new year to everybody. I want to know if what the Sabres are doing is sustainable. Will they be able to play the same level of hockey, do these same things, be consistent at, again, driving the net, getting contributions from all four lines, staying healthy, minding the small details, because the small details lead to the big picture. If everybody's going to do their jobs and do their tasks. I don't think Jaromír Kekäläinen should shake up anything lineup-wise, but I do think, you know, these players have to figure out, they a lot of these guys, you know, I'm kind of losing myself here. Some of these guys weren't on the roster a few years, you know, 3 years ago when the Sabres were coming down to the wire and chasing that. They're finding out now what it's like to play that way. Next step is they got to find out what it takes to play that way when they need something. And I also wonder, we've got the Olympic break coming up February 6th, so that's 5 weeks away, but that's going to get here real quick. Will that disrupt the momentum of not just this team, but a lot of other teams? A lot of movement and shaking can go around as well. You may see one team lose 6 or 7 games in a row. You may see another team go on an absolute tear as well at the right time and move on then as well. But I think this is it. The Sabres have to be consistent and have to find the way to make themselves and their game sustainable for the next X number of months until they know if they're in or out.
And I do think it is sustainable the way they're playing. We saw in 2018, the 10-game winning streak had 7 overtime or shootout wins, and you knew kind of that was a bit of fool's gold, and that doesn't feel like it. However, we're going to see in January something I'm going to look forward to. The Sabres have 3 games in an 18-day span in January against the Montreal Canadiens, and that's a team they've lost, I think it's 5 in a row now, and a team they're chasing in the Atlantic Division. And the Sabres right now have the best record within the Atlantic Division. They're 7-2-2 this season against the Atlantic Division, and they need to continue to clean up on some of these teams because no one here is overly impressive. The Florida Panthers have had injuries. The Detroit Red Wings lead the division. The Sabres have beaten them twice. The Sabres haven't seen Tampa yet, and the Lightning have cooled off some after their hot start. And I have never bought into Montreal. I have never bought into Ottawa, who is struggling. The Bruins are finally acting like who we think they are. They've been terrible. The Leafs, I don't know what's up with the Leafs, if they need a big shakeup or a coaching change. But in January, 3 matchups with the Montreal Canadiens might really tell a story here for the Buffalo Sabres, and they have to figure out a way to beat a team they haven't been able to beat and they've had some frustrating losses with. So to me, that's going to be a very big point to watch in the next month of play.
And those Atlantic Division points carry that much more weight when it comes down to, again, the moving and shaking and shuffling. If it comes down to a playoff berth. Another thing, looking at the schedule, Sabres have, what, a 5-game homestand coming up. They play in the stretch where it's, what, you know, 6 of 7 at home starting Tuesday, January 6th against Vancouver. Sabres like the comforts of home as well, too. They have to capitalize on that also. They play, what, Vancouver, which is, you know, they play Florida at home. They play Anaheim at home, which is kind of picking up. They play Philadelphia, which team that plays just like their coach, Rick Tocchet, as well, you know, and they, you know, I was impressed with how the Sabres played against Philadelphia, against a team that gets in your face and kind of kept their cool ultimately and won the game as well, too.
Yeah, it's a tough back-to-back when you're talking Philadelphia and Montreal back-to-back. At least they're not traveling. They're both at home, but that's going to be a tough one in the middle of January there. So the schedule continues to be tight due to the Olympics. We're going to find out about the Olympics on Friday, finally. We're going to find out about the Sabres continuing on the streak. Rachel is in Dallas for all your coverage at BuffaloNews.com. I'll be in Columbus, and we'll see where this thing keeps going. But for a team that was in last place in the Eastern Conference 3 weeks ago to be where they are now, it has been pretty remarkable. And, you know, quite a difference of feeling around this club as we saw in KeyBank Center last week against the Boston Bruins. So that's it for this edition of the Ice Time Podcast. Rachel will join you from Dallas and with all your coverage. And we'll talk to you again next time. Have a happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.